Good evening, and welcome to Holden Village. Today's date is 8/29/2002. This series is Faith-Based and Faithful, Lutheran Social Ministry and New Initiatives, Prophets, Stewards, Ministers, Servants. Where are Lutheran social voices most effective? This will be presented by Drew Gensler. Why don't we listen in?
It's time for any of you in this room. It's for people in the other room. My name is Drew Gensler, and this is number 4 in a session on Lutheran social ministry. We started on Monday. I work for the Office for Lutheran Services in America, which is kind of a roll-up national aggregate group for Lutheran social services and Lutheran community and family services across the country. On Monday, we went through some statistics and things about Lutheran services, but I'll just summarize very briefly. It's an amalgamation of both the Missouri Synods and the ELCA's social ministries. So it can be a rather precarious position. We don't represent either or both church bodies, but rather the sort of network of their ministries as they've come together. There are about 280 of them across the country, and the combined budgets of all the individual groups are about $7 billion, $7.5 billion. It's been called by Nonprofit Times the largest nonprofit network in the country. That took me by surprise, and I worked for them. I worked for them for 2 years. We, as Lutherans, not to be tribal or exclusive here, but I just, as a social service network, there's a lot of good work going on out there by Lutherans, but we're very quiet about it. And so that came as quite a surprise to some of us in the offices that, we have to maybe think a little bit differently about what we say and how we present LSA nationally. So anyway, that's the quick summary, and I work in public policy for them, and this past year, what we did on Tuesday, was explored the faith-based initiative. And this past year, I've been asked by our office to take a close look at that. This is an initiative launched by the president. Actually, both George Bush and Al Gore campaigned with something like this, but it was a thought about how to include, or do we include more in a streamlined way, faith-based social services with direct government funding. And so there have been different legal wranglings, there have been different legislative wranglings. Last night we went over some of the legislation, some of the bills that are currently moving on the faith-based initiative. But essentially, what it comes down to for us, that we were talking about this, I guess the best way to say it over the past 3 nights has been that as a faith-based network, those kinds of questions about what our services look like, how implicitly or explicitly do we share the gospel, what does that look like? Those things are always kind of the undercurrent feeding some of our political discussion, our theological discussion, and social service providers. What this faith-based initiative has done, for better or for worse, is to make those questions explicit. And in the past 18 months or so, we've really entered a new realm where we've had to almost be on the defensive of it and say, well, this is what we mean by faith-based, Mr. President. These are the kinds of things we mean as a faith-based provider. This is how our services look and things. There is no universal answer for us. We're a very varied network, as you might imagine. And there is no easy answer. And so what we're doing tonight is looking at the different roles, the different elements that might present themselves. I call them Lutheran theological and biblical resources, but there's no need to be kind of exclusivist about it. I mean, I think there are some things here that have been contributions to maybe a Christian witness in the world. And what does that look like? What do we say in response to the administration on behalf of our social ministry? So what I'd like to do really quickly, actually, if you wouldn't mind, I know a lot of you have been here before, and if you have, you can just say, hi, or that you're here again. But if you wouldn't mind just quickly giving your name and any connection you might have with Lutheran social ministry, indirect, direct, implicit, explicit. I think it would be better for our conversation together if we all kind of know the wealth of experience and connections we're bringing here. So who am I starting, Alex?
My name is Alex, and I actually don't have a connection, so I'm interested here.
Okay, fair enough.
My name is Michelle, and I also do not have a connection.
Okay.
My name is Angela, and I'm Lutheran, so that's my connection. I don't have an explicit connection.
Okay.
As always, I'm Leah. I was here 2 days ago on Tuesday, and I don't have a current direct connection, but I mentioned earlier that I served a congregation of the former LCA and was extremely involved in their social outreach into the neighborhood.
Okay, great. Thanks.
I'm John. I'm on staff working as a maverick. There's a church across the street from the church that I have attended that does Wilsonville Food Share Program, and that's my, social interest involvement. And it just happens that their church is across the road from the other church. So that's kind of my social involvement. I'm kind of thinking along some of the lines.
Welcome.
I'm Ulrika, and I have no past experience, but I'm looking to the future for my next life and what I want to do. This might be one of the answers.
All right.
I'm Luann. We adopted our youngest daughter from Korea through LSS in Minnesota. No current professional connection.
Wes, I served on the board of LSS in North Dakota.
Welcome.
I'm Pat. Before I retired 2 years ago, I was director of a social service agency in San Diego, and next with Lutheran Social Services. Have never been very closely involved.
Great.
Yeah. I'm Gareth, and I hope that.
All right. I'm Dave, and I have no connection. I'm Clark, and I don't either.
Okay.
And I'm Nancy. I'm United Church of Canada, and I don't, but I agree.
Well, we'll have our work cut out for us this evening.
My name's John, and I do social work, and sometimes we have mutual clients. It's sort of work with the congregation, and we also work with family services at times. Mm-hmm. And I go to churches. I'm Catholic, but I go to a combined Catholic Lutheran church.
Yeah, that's right. I think you were talking about that earlier in another session. Right.
I'm Annette, and I was the past president of the Lutheran Family Service Board in Oregon and Southwest Washington.
Right. Thank you. Thanks, Carl. Although I'm a Lutheran, I'm also a Catholic worker in San Diego, and we do a Friday luncheon feeding to the homeless in our area, and it's kind of an ecumenical group that prepares that meal and serves it to the anywhere from, depending upon when the paychecks come out, 40 or maybe 90 or 100 people.
Wow, great. If you would please share your name and say if you have any direct or indirect connection with Lutheran social ministry in some way.
Well, I'm Presbyterian. I'm Sherry Noah, and not really a Lutheran, but I've done a lot of work with the homeless.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And some kitchen.
Would you like to identify yourself up in the rafters?
Yeah. I'm Warren Johnson. And what else?
Do you have any direct or indirect connection with Lutheran social ministry?
None.
And your pastorate?
At all. None.
Okay. No wonder you're up in the room.
Are you coming down?
I can tease a lot. All right.
No.
I like
that
up here.
There's cushions up there.
You're higher than now.
Well,
are there cushions?
Pardon me?
Are there cushions up
no.
there?
There were. There aren't any more.
But you're okay up there?
Yeah,
all right.
I don't need rescue.
Well, we're working on a sort of Lutheran response to the faith-based initiative on behalf of our social ministry. And so I brought out about 4 different categories. And what I wanted to say, for the next 5 minutes, I wanted to read a couple of things. And then I'd like to involve us in kind of a Bible study on these four elements in sort of our social voice as Christians, and see what we come up with. And obviously, I hope there's some agreement and some perhaps some disagreement with the kinds of things I've laid out and been reading here. Now, essentially, I want to draw on two things that are sort of Lutheran contributions, if you will, to the sort of Christian life, the public voice of Christian witness. One is the two kingdoms theory, or the two rules theory laid out by Luther. And I've taken the liberty of paraphrasing here, so if you want to, again, if you want to take issue with some of this, please do so, and we'll have a discussion on this. God is active in the world both through the church, through faith and sacraments, and through the government, for good order, provision, protection. Government and church as parts of the creation are good, as created and given by God. Therefore, social service presence is not about bringing God into an evil world to subdue it. Rather, social service participates in discovering and uncovering how God is already present in the world. The second was a sort of just loosely titled Reformation Faith. What the sort of reformers discovered was different about faith, the nature of faith. The Christian encounter with the gospel promise is a dynamic, creative one that transforms and frees the believer to engage the world. Christians are free to discern morality by reason and judgment, always in reference to the belief in and substance of the gospel message. Therefore, faith-based social service is not about bringing a prescriptive morality into the world. Rather, social service participates in the world's conversations through activity and vocation compelled by their encounter with the gospel. So some more sort of academic language about what it means, what our social ministries might look like. We have on the one hand, we went over these things on Tuesday, we have on the one hand a Jesus command and in fact a description of a judgment between sheep and goats. If someone is hungry, you feed them. If someone's thirsty, you give them water. If someone's naked, you clothe them. And a few chapters later in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Go therefore into the world and baptize everybody you meet, teaching them what I've commanded you, and baptizing them, the Great Commission." And so these are two very different views, perhaps not mutually exclusive, but nonetheless different views about what it means to be Christian and engage in the world. And they are in tension in this faith-based initiative as more groups are applying for government funding and more groups are buying. And the legislation out there says, yes, it's okay to, parts of the legislation say, yes, it's okay to receive direct government funding and to still provide for Bible study and worship as sort of mandatory parts of what you do. So the question has been raised for us as Lutherans, what do we mean by faith-based and how does that look? That's why I wanted to present these four things as sort of themes or elements that we might build on or rally around in some sense. I just wanted to go over them kind of briefly, and then we're going to engage in some Bible study and divide it into four groups based on these four themes and see what we can come up with. By the first one, as stewards, I mean simply the kind of what might be called the Adam and Eve complex, or the Adam and Eve's roles, as we understand them. God gives to humanity a certain privilege and a certain responsibility for taking care of the environment. It's one model for that is to say we therefore control our natural environment and are sort of rulers of it, and therefore we can use it at whim and at will. Another model is to say we are managers of it, and we are sort of watching it and tending it and keeping it going for the one who gave it to us. Different models there. So who are we as stewards, let's say, as resources? I mean, I mentioned earlier LSA's roll-up budget of all our members is about $7.5 billion. It's a lot of resources. What do we do with them? The second one is by prophets, and refer probably call to mind immediately some images of Old Testament prophets, who we are as Lutherans in the public square. One criticism of a group that is as large and professional and mature as Lutheran Services is to say, can you have a prophetic voice, a role, vis-a-vis the government? If you're receiving, the total is about 40% of our budget, just under $3 billion that we receive from government funding of some sort. Can we continue a prophetic voice from the church and continue to operate with that kind of funding? That's prophets. The third is the one I was talking about just now as servants. Jesus' mandate, and the sheep and the goats and the judgment. A pastor who sat in yesterday, and we're talking about this verse actually, and he mentioned, you know, that in that he doesn't only see our role as haves given to have-nots, which is a big part of this faith-based initiative, the charity aspect of it, but that what Jesus is telling us in that passage is that we encounter Christ in that exchange. And sometimes surprisingly to people, people who didn't do it and thought maybe they were, and those who maybe didn't know, understand they were doing it, and in fact were in Christ, is, you know, that's where you find it.
Are we not also to be the Christ to them, though?
Yeah, well, perhaps that's in that exchange. I think, would you say an extension, or would you say a
we are Christ? We are baptized.
Okay. Christ-like?
Little Christians.
Yeah.
Christians,
okay.
Little
sure.
Christ.
Yeah, I think that's an important point to bring up here, especially as it's different from the fourth, I would think, although this is a subtle distinction, and that is ministers. What we're being asked in terms of how we provide social service is, in fact, you know, are we more sort of servants of the word? Is the gospel, we carry the gospel forward as implicit in what we do, in sort of no questions asked hospitality, an abiding presence, a certain grace that we go about social services with? Or, in fact, are we about something more explicit in presenting the gospel to people? And by ministers, I guess the easiest way to sort of tease that out is with a brief story about Luther that he had written about two sets of monks that were set up outside of the tiny little town at the time, Wittenberg, where he was. There were two monasteries. One monastery was making rather shoddy shoes and stamping a gold cross on the shoes, on the toes of the shoes, and selling them to people and calling them Christian shoes. The other monastery was making what people considered to be pretty good quality shoes and giving them away. And Luther's question to us is, you know, which are the Christian shoes? What is the Christian work there? Where are we the Christs there? So by ministers of the word, of course, we've had this expansive notion. The Reformers had an expansive notion of how we each, in our vocation, whether it's ministry with a capital M or ministry with a small M, how do we carry forth our goodness into the world? So another question for us.
According to the Reformers, though, each one of us is a minister with a capital M. We are baptized into full-time professional ministry.
How would that look to you?
Overwhelming. It's every moment of our day, every action we take.
Okay. Do you draw a distinction between sort of ordained roles for ministry?
No, I consider ordination an artifact of the old covenant and invalid under the new.
Okay. That's a very interesting statement.
I know. I was a candidate for ordination. I entered the candidacy process only to get into seminary. They thought I was weird.
What did you do with that?
I didn't finish the MDiv.
Okay.
But
you are a minister.
I'm not currently.
By your own definition, you are a minister.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I have worked as a called lay professional.
That, I think, is the point. The larger point of the Reformers would be to lift up the fact that in your vocation, your daily living, you are a minister. And what I'd like to do at this point, having sort of presented those in some way, is keeping in mind what this faith-based initiative is about, looking, probably, I guess this one we can divide up. Let's see, we've got five. If I could give you, you five, sit here, pick one. Maybe a surprise. One of these has.
You're hitting with orange, so give me an orange.
Okay, what do you have?
Oh, minister.
Okay. And let's see, perhaps Well, we don't want to split up the couple who in fact, has a child from Lutheran Village. We don't want to do that. Okay.
Well, that doesn't remember.
Well, how about the four of you right here? Okay. And see, since you have ministered, you can develop some of this very interesting.
Isn't everyone else a minister?
I would like to think so. What are your insights on that? Are you ministers of the word?
I get so annoyed when people refer to pastors as ministers. Of course, everyone has a pastoral role also, but that annoys me no end.
It's funny, I was just talking to someone this afternoon who was interested in a job with Lutheran Services in administration. And what does that word mean? You know, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
How about, well, let's see. If I could have maybe the six of you. The two of you and the two behind you, and maybe Ken, if you like.
What about the guy on the balcony?
Oh, well, Warren's on his own. Warren's going to pick up his own now. Okay.
Do you have anything to say? Yeah.
And yeah, if you can just divide the two of you.
No, we'll stay there.
Let me get you some Bibles.
We can get our own. Really?
Here. Some of these have some different translations, but feel free to contrast and compare. And if you feel you'd like a corner or a different part of the hallway, please go there once you have something to tell you what we're going to be doing. A couple more. Is anyone else? Okay. Now with that word, as kind of an example we were just talking about, if you could do two things. One is to look pretty much free reign anywhere in the Bible, or if you have other sort of insights from Christian witness or the tradition of the church as interpreted from Scripture about that role, put it down. We're trying to describe this role and how it might look. The second, and I'll get some pencils for you. The second is with this notion of social ministry in mind. Not only individuals and congregations and things, but as a collective social ministry in society, how might that role look? Like a sentence like LSA, as ministers, LSA, Lutheran Social Ministry, can blank. We can do this kind of thing. As stewards, LSA can. These are things LSA could do publicly with the role of steward. How might steward look? Or how might minister look? Or how might servant look? Or how might prophet look? These different roles. And I will, if you want to start taking a look at some of the scripture, I'll try to get some pens or pencil. There it goes. So some of them might have some immediate connections, but feel free to be as creative or as indirect as you want, and we'll hopefully get some good discussion out of it.
I know it's Paul, but I'm not sure how it's.
To me, personally,
how many work it is. Yeah. Some are called reconciled, but there's a list of certain things, gifts that people have.
Varieties of ministry with the same gifts. No, varieties of gifts with the same gifts. Why don't you find that?
scripture can mean is for the individual
Okay, one body, many parts, 1 Corinthians 12.
Okay. going through that list of properties.
I think you could put out some really good news.
Yeah,
you know, you try to live in the street to say that.
But then you want to survive.
Yeah.
Is that my ministry? Now, is that a ministry? Or
absolutely.
Well, if serving who's going to be here is what is good, maybe bring that up.
Good point.
Why might you say that? You know, what do you find that are
coming
out?
The minister to the Gentiles.
So if I
Let's have each group then go in turn and describe to you what minister might look like, different concepts of disciple, or even if you have an idea that like you can't find a verse or something with my words. But if you remember a story or a relationship, or maybe like the Jesus.
What ministry might look like in the
crowd? Yeah. What would ministry you as a how we're lifting ministry up as an element of public voice? A ministry model.
What about actually?
And second, how do we respond? Social ministry. Minister individually at work, or you might minister individually at somewhere, or the church minister, or a state minister. What might social ministry organizations do for?